Welcome to the Currently Cringing podcast. I'm your host, Anisha Ramakrishna. I'm a TV personality and entrepreneur. Join me as I spill the chai on my cringeworthy life experiences with a side of dating, pop culture, and lots of laughs.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey guys, welcome to Currently Cringing. Today, we're briefly going to talk about the TikTok ban, everything that's going on with Boeing, including the mysterious death of the Boeing whistleblower. And then we're going to deep dive into Kate Middleton. And where is she?
So the TikTok ban and the Senate's role in voting on it are part of broader U.S. efforts to address national security concerns related to foreign-owned social media applications. That's what they claim. And I understand how that's a great narrative because China is an adversarial country for the U.S. Now, this is not what I believe. I actually love China. I'm even afraid to say that. I have a special place in my heart for China because I was in the fashion industry for so long, and I met such incredibly talented people in China. And for people who are mad that things are made in China, there's a reason they're made there. It's because they make things well. I have worked with factories all over the world for clothing, and just the attention to detail, the workmanship, the efficiency of the Chinese people, the way they just are so dedicated to getting the job done, I haven't seen it anywhere else in the world. I really haven't. So much so that part of the reason why I didn't really continue the clothing line, as in it's still there, but I'm not designing things from scratch, because in the pandemic, you know, we weren't allowed to ship things from China, and a lot of the factories, you know, were charging crazy prices that small businesses like myself could no longer afford because they were trying to make up for losses from the pandemic since no one wanted anything from China. And I have worked with my own country, India. And let me say, it's night and day. I hate to say that as an Indian, but I remember when we were at Tahari, you know, and we would work with Indian factories to give them a chance, you know, and just the workmanship, the quality, the lack of efficiency, just, you know, it's a country that runs on bribes And I know I'm pissing a lot of people off by saying this, and India's going to change. We talked about this in another episode prior. It's going to change. It's on its way. By 2028, it's going to be a superpower. And this shit's going to have to stop if they want to be taken seriously and if they want to work with big brands and do business around the world and, you know, make it easy for foreigners to work with India without dealing with bribes and inefficiency. And, you know, you think China's got sweatshop workers? Wait till you see what's happening in India. There's literally children working in these factories. You know, the Chinese actually have really strict laws in place now and quality control. And I had to do a lot of that when I was at Tohari, you know, to make sure that none of that nonsense was happening. And so I have a special place in my heart for China. I've been many times. I have a lot of good friends there, and I had a lot of good coworkers. You know, they're your partners, and a lot of people that helped me with my clothing line. And when I was at Tohari, I made some amazing connections there and people. And I was just starting out, I remember, with my own clothing company. And these factories, you know, they're used to working with large minimums. You know, they're working with Nordstrom and Macy's. And because of our working relationship at Tohari, a lot of these companies worked with me, even though I was giving them like 50 unit orders and helping me, and they wanted me to succeed. And ultimately, with the pandemic, it kind of wasn't really the right time. But I'm forever grateful to those people. And I've learned so much. And I've been to China many times. And I do appreciate their skill. And they are innovative and really productive and great, kind people when you go there. And if you ever do have the chance to go there, I would recommend you go. I think it just opened up. I want to go. I want to go back and meet friends and show my husband the China that I know. But as usual, I digress. I'm a chatty Cathy here, which is why we have a podcast. But basically, you know, the U.S. doesn't look too kindly upon China. And there are many reasons for that. I understand that the U.S. does not like that a foreign company like TikTok has 150 million U.S. citizens using the app. And not only is it just 150 million U.S. citizens, it's the youth of America. The youth of America is using TikTok. 47% of TikTok users are below the age of 30. And just recently, you know, you've seen on TikTok, if you do use TikTok, you know, I've learned so much from TikTok, by the way. I love TikTok. And if you do use it and you use it for good, you'll learn a lot on there. But I can see how it's a threat too, because if, you know, the youth on TikTok, they're calling shit out and it's not cute and people are scared. You know, we're in the age of Aquarius, which is the unveiling. Everything is going to come to light. And when the youth are saying, stop eating Kellogg's, you know, and you're like, what's going on with these videos? And so I Google, like, why are the young TikTok kids telling us not to eat Kellogg's? And it's because the CEO of Kellogg's went on national television and said that people can't afford dinner, and so they should eat cereal for dinner. It's affordable. Someone who's making millions of dollars as a CEO of a corporation in America, one of the largest corporations, Kellogg's, should not be telling the American people to eat cereal for dinner. And so he's under fire for saying those things. And now people are making videos on how to make Frosted Flakes at home. And when you see how easy this shit is, you're like, well, maybe I don't need to buy Kellogg's. Or look at these TikTok lip readers. You know, there's a whole category of TikTokers who have accounts where they just read lips. And they're telling you what these people are saying, celebrities, politicians, you know, under their breath. They're saying not so good things. They're boycotting Starbucks, and Starbucks is losing a lot of money. Starbucks valuation and stock has dropped tremendously. I don't see anyone at my Starbucks. You know, the kids are kind of running things. and influencing. That's what the app is doing. And I don't think that has anything to do with China. And by the way, TikTok is not a Chinese company. TikTok is from Singapore. And people in China cannot use TikTok. Their version of TikTok is an app called Douyin. And it's teaching you like math and science. Like they're not dancing on there and spewing garbage like how we are over here. And by the way, Instagram is banned in China and so is Google. But you just get a VPN and, you know, you can use all that stuff, which is what I do when I'm there. And the same thing's going to happen if it's banned here. So I think that the government sees how powerful TikTok is because it's an organic algorithm. You know, on Meta platforms like Facebook and Instagram, you're seeing what they want you to see. They're pushing the content to you. Whereas TikTok has an amazing, incredible algorithm, which is why people are addicted, because it's literally called FYP, the For You page. And the For You page is basically stalking you and showing you things that you would love to see. Whereas on IG, I can tell you I'm scrolling through half this shit. None of it's really interesting to me. And then I go on TikTok and I'm like, I can cure my menstrual migraines with fever pew. I would have never known that. Versus killing my kidneys and my liver with this prescription triptan that I'm taking every month. And so I could see how it's a big threat. And so the U.S. Senate passed a bill initially by voice vote to prohibit federal employees from using TikTok on government-owned devices. And now they've taken it up another notch, and the Senate has unanimously voted to ban TikTok in America. So all these years, no one could agree on anything from either party, and now we have a strong bipartisan consensus on the issue of how TikTok is a potential risk to the American people. I find that baffling. I think TikTok is just making way too much money and actually making a difference. And so now the US wants control. And they've given authorities at TikTok the option to either be banned from America or sell TikTok to an American company like Meta, which, by the way, sells our information to the US government and tracks and monitors our every move and shows us what the US government wants us to see. And so what does it take? What does it take to get a bill passed? Because I don't remember this shit. You know, I learned this shit maybe in like fifth grade. Is that when they told us about like what executive branch, legislative branch, judiciary? Like that's all I remember, but I don't know what any of it means. So I looked it up for us, for all of us, because I doubt you remember either. But it starts with the introduction of a bill. A senator introduces a bill, which is then assigned to a committee for examination. In this case, to ban TikTok. Then a committee reviews the bill and sees if it's kosher and sends it back to the Senate and recommends it for approval. Then the Senate debates on, you know, whether or not they should vote to pass this bill. And in this case, of course, they all agree, miraculously. Then they vote. And after the vote, the bill is sent to the House of Representatives. And then the House of Representatives votes as well. And they just voted unanimously, of course, to ban it. And then finally, it goes to President Biden. And he signs the bill. And then TikTok will be banned. This is mind-blowing because with everything that's going on in America and in the world, this is what the government is spending their time doing, trying to ban TikTok. And then the controversy around TikTok has been further complicated by leaked audio from Jonathan Greenblatt, who's the CEO of the Anti-Defamation League. And in this recording, he's expressing his concerns over TikTok's influence among young people, particularly regarding its ability to bypass traditional media channels. Well, yeah, I mean, who's watching traditional media channels? I don't know anyone outside of boomers, maybe some Gen Xers, who are watching the news. I don't know who's turning on the television in my peer group. You know, and I'm in my late 30s now. I don't know who's turning on the TV and watching the news. And these leaked comments have ignited discussions about the future of digital platforms like TikTok, you know, and their role in public discourse and the challenges that traditional organizations face in engaging with younger, digitally active audiences. Like, how are you going to connect with a younger audience? You know, get with the program. Get with the program. Start talking to the young people. Or if you had a leaked call that might have sounded a little sus, as the kids say, then maybe make a statement to the young people. I mean, he called them idiots. He called Gen Z idiots in this leaked audio. But whether it's TikTok or Twitter, which is now X, or Instagram or Facebook, all of these are platforms where we as people in the world, on Earth, can share our opinion. Now, I don't know when that changed, but it seems like people don't like what people are saying, people at the top. And so things like this are happening now, like trying to ban TikTok. This is really about censorship, freedom of expression, and ethical responsibilities. And I can tell you, the youth, Gen Z, God bless them, because they don't give a fuck. You know, I'm an elder millennial and I still have some boomer in me. And, you know, it's taken a long time to get some of that thinking out of my system, because that's just how I was raised to think. And it's refreshing. I like seeing Gen Z. I like seeing their opinions, even though they make fun of us. But, you know, they're ballsy. They're audacious. They're doing the things that a lot of us millennials aren't. I know a lot of millennials, including my peers, my friends, you know, a lot of us, we're just trying to hold it together. But you know who's not holding it together? Boeing. And as someone who's always flying, you know, I kind of brushed it off, like the first few incidents. But then I just saw another incident now on a United flight right now, 30 minutes ago. And I'm shook. I'm like, okay, I'm scared to fly now. Like, what's going on with these Boeing planes? Or is it on purpose? Do they want to get rid of people? Do we have too many people on the planet? Like, you just never know anymore, like, what the real motive is or why this is happening all of a sudden when everything was fine up until a couple of weeks ago. Like, too many things are happening with too many planes. And notice how they're all happening here. They're not happening anywhere else. So Boeing unveiled the 737 MAX aircraft in 2011. And since then, there have been quite a few issues, but I think things came to a head January 5th of this year when we all saw the panel fly off that Alaskan Airlines flight from Portland, Oregon. And that's just what happened this year. I mean, if you look up all the shit that's happened with this aircraft, it's terrifying that we've all just been flying and like we only woke up when like the whole fucking chunk of a plane flew off. And then because of this, the Federal Aviation Administration had a 6-week audit of Boeing and Spirit AeroSystems, which is their supplier. And in this audit, they found multiple instances where the companies allegedly failed to comply with manufacturing quality control requirements. And you're like, really? Really, bruh? Like, this is a plane. People are traveling. Thousands of people are traveling every day. And I guess no one has any value for human life. And so they found a lot of fucked up shit, basically, in this audit, which is still happening. And they decided, you know, let's ground 171 Boeing 737 MAX planes. And they've even halted production of these planes. And Boeing is now submitting like a plan, you know, and what they're going to do to correct this, which I don't even know what that means. Like, how do you know they're going to correct it? Like, we don't know. But what we do know is Boeing is a shady bitch, and a Boeing whistleblower, John Barnett, is found dead.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This past weekend, last weekend, so not this weekend that you're listening, the past weekend, March 9th, right before the fucking full moon. That's terrifying. And so who is John Barnett? Well, John Barnett worked at Boeing for over 30 years, and he was part of the assembly line. And in 2017, he steps away from Boeing, and not only does he retire, but he becomes a whistleblower. He starts telling the truth about Boeing and, you know, disturbing revelations about production and subpar parts, his doubts about whether oxygen systems on board the Dreamliner worked, that 1 in 4 breathing masks failed to operate, how they were rushed to assemble planes, and sometimes they didn't always have the right parts and they would just use whatever they found in bins. And he had been giving evidence, you know, in a lawsuit against Boeing. And sure enough, on March 9th of this year, last weekend, he's found dead by apparent suicide, self-inflicted wound. They found him parked in his car at a Holiday Inn in Charleston, just days after he lent his voice to a whistleblower lawsuit against Boeing. Meanwhile, the hotel staff at the Holiday Inn, they're like, this man was fine. He was not upset. He was not sad. He had a quesadilla and a Coca-Cola the night before he was found dead. And he was supposed to attend a third day of depositions for this lawsuit where he was, you know, ratting out Boeing. And then he somehow kills himself with a gun. And there is a note. They found a note, and the contents of the note has not been revealed. But yeah, I'm even scared to talk about this stuff and tell you guys about it. But, you know, this is what's happening. You know, it all, we have a common theme today. You know, notice how we started with TikTok, governments, freedom of speech, banning apps. Now we have this Boeing whistleblower. He was ratting out Boeing and then he's dead. And now we're going to get into Kate Middleton. Where is Kate Middleton? She has been absent from the public eye since attending a service on January 16th, a day before her planned abdominal surgery. I say that with quotation marks. And after the surgery, she apparently returned home to Windsor, but we haven't seen her since. And rumors and conspiracy theories are swirling. I even joked last week, you know, on this podcast, maybe she got a full body mama makeover. Like, we don't know. She's going to be queen. You know, she thought, let me get nipped and tucked. She wanted to be snatched for the crown. But it's all fun and games until they announce that King Charles III has cancer. And so King Charles is released from his visit to the hospital on January 29th. But then the same day, the palace announces that Kate's not returning for official royal duties until after Easter. That's March 31st. And then on February 9th, they make a statement saying that King Charles III is doing well and Kate is making good progress. And then we hear nothing until March 4th. We see a random weird photo of Kate Middleton wearing sunglasses, and she's in a black SUV that's being driven by her mother, Carol Middleton. People are saying it's a body double, that that's not even Kate, that she looks different. And to just pacify the public, all of us who clearly have nothing better to do, the palace says they will not be providing a running commentary or providing daily updates on the Princess of Wales. And, you know, that's mocking all of us. We all know that they're calling the shots, okay? The British press is in the back pocket of the monarchy. They're not telling you anything that they are not allowed to. Everything is being approved by Buckingham Palace. Nothing is being sold to us without the blessing from Buckingham Palace. And I saw another TikToker made a very good point. You know, she said when Meghan Markle was giving birth and running around town, you know, they wouldn't leave her alone. They were hounding her every second of the day. Yet now we don't see Kate Middleton for months. And all hell breaks loose on March 10th when Kensington Palace releases a portrait of Kate and her three children, or I guess what's British Mother's Day. Except this is why the internet is so powerful. And, you know, people are so observant because I would have never known. Apparently now there's an inconsistency with Princess Charlotte's left hand in this photo, and the photo appears to be doctored. It's like a fake photo, could be AI, like who knows at this point. And Kate herself admits to editing the photo. And she says on X, Twitter, "I want to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day. I do occasionally experiment with editing, like many photographers." Okay, please. You know, Kate was not on Photoshop, hun. And now the press is pissed because they're in bed with Buckingham Palace, but they look like fucking morons. And now they're like, you know what? Fuck you. Because you're making us look ridiculous by sending us whatever the fuck photos. And you'd think they just like stop right now, like just don't say anything. Like, if Kate is healing, like, let her heal. It's none of our business where she is or what she's doing. If she's having some sort of mental health issue, like, leave her alone. Like, none of us need to be involved. Yet I am recording a podcast episode about it. But you think it can't get any worse, right? Except then, on March 11th, they post a photo where Kate and William are in a car on their way to a private appointment, except the online sleuths, you know, can't get anything past the internet. The online community, if you want to call it that, they see a difference between the color of the brick wall behind the car. And now to save face, the photo agency sends a message saying, you know, hey, we cropped the image and lightened it. Okay. And that's where we are as of today. And news in Latin America, they're reporting that Kate had a severe issue with her colon because maybe she has Crohn's and almost died and had to be intubated. That's what they were reporting weeks ago. Another theory is she has an eating disorder and she's in rehab. I've also seen that, you know, apparently, allegedly, she's devastated because William is having an affair with one of her really good friends, Rose, who's married to a 65-year-old man and happens to be pregnant right now. The crazy people are saying it might be William's child, but then, you know, you look at the history. You look at the history of Buckingham Palace and Princess Diana and Queen Elizabeth and Prince Andrew of Epstein Island and everything. And you're just like, is history repeating itself? Does this family just have a lot of karma to deal with? Like King Charles and Queen Camilla? Can't believe I even have to say that because it should be Queen Diana. And they say it's always someone you know. It's always the friend. And these rumors about Prince William's affair with Rose Hanbury, these rumors started around 2019. So this is not new. It's new to me. Like, I didn't hear about this before until, like, Kate's been missing. But this has been swirling in the air for quite some time now. And then people were seeing photos of Kate, you know, without her wedding ring. And that just amplified the rumor. Some are saying she, asked for divorce and was denied. Another theory is that she tried to end her life, which I do not believe. I think Kate Middleton wants to be queen. This is something she's worked her entire life for. She's not just throwing it away. And you would think with all these crazy ass rumors that, you know, they just do something about it to make us all shut up. But I think they might want this buzz, you know, because we kind of forgot about them until this happened. You know, now we're all talking about the royal family again. And of course, guess who decides to drop some new business in the midst of all of this? None other than Meghan Markle. She has a new Instagram page now called American Riviera Orchard, some sort of a lifestyle brand, they're saying. So when that's happening, you're like, okay, Kate's fine. But what are you doing, hun? Or were you told to do this by the palace? Or did you think, you know, now's a good time to kind of drop a brand because everyone's talking about the royal family and I was dropped from Spotify and so I'm back now? Like, it's really bizarre. And then people are also saying that Prince William is allegedly violent and has a temper and has issues with rage. And Harry kind of alluded to that when he was like trying to flee. Like that guy was like, we're fucking leaving. And, you know, he said like his brother kind of beat him up. And I read Harry's book, The Spare. I actually really loved that book. If you guys haven't read it, I highly recommend it. And in this book, you know, he says that he was fighting about Meghan Markle with Prince William. And William followed Harry around the house and came at him and grabbed him by the collar, ripped his necklace off and knocked him to the ground. And you don't think of these things when you see Prince William. You see this like quiet guy, but it's always the fucking quiet ones, right? And you see Kate and she's perfect. And what could go wrong with these two? They're made for each other. I mean, they've been together for over 20 years and they got married in 2011. So they've been married forever and they've been together since they were like in their teens. People are saying William has a temper and he's a bully. And Harry and Meghan had to flee because allegedly Meghan was like being a girl's girl and told Kate like, hey, I know your man's cheating. And Kate was like, yeah, we all know that. Like, why are you telling me this? Like, no, we all know. You don't need to say this out loud. And maybe shit was going down. Harry and Meghan probably knew too much. They knew that they were not going to be protected in that family. And I did watch their Netflix documentary that everyone was making fun of. And they were terrified in that documentary. And the royal family, they're like the mafia. You know, maybe they would have been killed eventually, or something bad was going to happen, or they saw a lot of bad things happen. And then you have Meghan, who is not equipped for this and probably thought it was one thing, but it was something completely different. I mean, we all have seen the note that Diana left before she died. She said, they're trying to kill me with a car accident. She literally wrote that down. You can Google it. It's frightening. Joe Rogan talks about it. And I think they left because I've always thought Harry should have just married someone who would understand this life, because it's a God-given right to be in this monarchy. No one gets to just come to Earth and be born in that position. Like, you were chosen for that. And in my opinion, he did throw it all away for Meghan Markle, but Meghan Markle wasn't the right person for this job. And some might say there's no one right for that job. But, you know, when you're looking for a spouse and you know that you're a prince, maybe you got to find someone that's, you know, understanding of this culture. And Kate seems to be the perfect fit, perfect for queen, but maybe she's losing her mind at this point. Or she's like, King Charles is on his way out, if you know what I mean. And I want to look incredible. I want to be the hottest fucking queen to have ever lived. I mean, to me, Kate Middleton and Meghan Markle, they were both stunning. But there is some kind of an elegance that Kate Middleton has. I think she's just mastered her duty as the future queen, as a princess. You couldn't find anyone more perfect for this job. And it's a job at the end of the day, and it's a lot of work. These people don't have a life. This is their life. This is what they were born to do. And I'm sure a lot of this was explained to her when, you know, she met William. Maybe there are things that were found out or that they know that are just too terrifying for them to handle. And that's Meghan and Harry. I mean, if they fled, I mean, we saw why they fled. They said it was because their lives were just becoming unbearable and the press was attacking them and everything in the press was, you know, about saving face and making William and Kate look amazing and making Harry and Meghan look like trash people, and whether the baby's skin color was fair enough to be in the royal family, like crazy shit like that. Like, I do believe that all that shit happened. But maybe Meghan found out about some things she shouldn't have, like bad things, and probably freaked the fuck out like the rest of us would, and was like, we gotta get out of here. And what's fascinating is Nostradamus, the guy who's predicted a lot of things from back in the day, he said that Prince Charles or King Charles would pass and there would be an unexpected king. Time will tell what that means. It's also very interesting that Tom Kingston committed suicide this week, and he's from the queen side of the family, and he's a financier, and he married Lady Gabriella of Windsor, and he's the ex-boyfriend of Pippa Middleton, Kate's sister. And they haven't gotten to the bottom of it yet. And by they, I mean the internet sleuths. They are doing the Lord's work, but they're working on it. We don't know what happened there. They feel it's somehow connected to this Kate Middleton going missing situation. But all of these events leading up to today just tells me that they're trying to hide something. And we don't know what it is, and we may never know. But I hope Kate is doing well. And hopefully what I believe is true, which is she's just getting a makeover, a mommy makeover, a full queen surgical makeover. And let's see how this story unfolds. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thank you so much for sipping the chai with me this week. If you like the show, remember to rate, review, and subscribe. You can also find me on Instagram at Anish Ramakrishna. I would love to hear from you. Join me next week for more chai.